Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 13, already in the NFL. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined, as always, by Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling, as we take you around the league and get you set up with some handicapping talk with all of these games played at wacky times, wacky days. I went 3-2 with my best bets last week. Gary, your best bets last week?
Not good. 2-3. Look, that Giants... That Giants game is just—it's sticking in my craw, as young people say. even without Daniel Jones, it looked like they were still going to get that cover in Cincinnati until Brandon Allen just a heroic Montana-like late game drive to get the backdoor cover there for Cincinnati.
Mitch, how'd you do?
Yeah, I don't know what cutoff Gary thinks qualifies as young people, if that's the expression he thinks the kids are using. I was 1-3 this week. Should have been better. I had the Raiders -3 at Atlanta, very close to covering. Had me on the edge of my seat till the very end of the game. And then sadly, what they lose by 30-something points. That was a tough one. Jimmy, you were against me in that game. And then the other one, and we were on this together, the Chiefs went up big early in Tampa and then gave up a tough backdoor cover. A couple of Mike Evans touchdown catches, which actually did help me in fantasy, but was not good for me in this case. And then I got lucky with my one win. I called it my lock of the week was the Seahawks over the Eagles. And I would have best bet them at almost any number last week. Fortunately, when we taped early in the week, they were at -5. And then later in the week, they were up around 6, 6.5. And so I know a lot of people who bet on the Seahawks. It was a terrible bad beat. Sorry, I can't speak. A bad beat, one of the worst of the season. The Richard Rodgers Hail Mary and then the 2-point conversion. But I escaped with a nice little win, Seahawks -5. I don't know how that happened. So maybe I should be okay with 1-3.
For full disclosure, I was 3-2 last week, but I am on what might be one of the top three worst stretches of my gambling life. I had the Steelers on Wednesday. So you get the Trace McSorley garbage TD to ruin that cover. I had in the Seahawks game, I had bet the Seahawks -2.5 second half. They were up 6-3 when they got the Hail Mary touchdown. And then on Sunday, I had bet over 30 points for the Chiefs. They score 17 in the first quarter and then basically stopped trying. And the week before was the Vikings against the Cowboys. So I am on an all-time bad stretch here. So don't listen to anything I say over the next 30 to 40 minutes.
Jimmy, I'll actually say I am also. I pick along with the Super Contest every week, and I tweet out my spreadsheet with all my picks through the years. And I started 23-16-1, and I was on a nice pace, one of my better seasons. And since then, I'm like 4-15-1 the last 4 weeks. I am a mess. And it's like one of the worst stretches. I'm now having the worst season I've had in like 8 years.
I also had over 23.5 points for the Chargers. Thank you, Anthony Lynn, for not knowing how to coach the football game. All right. Enough of me complaining. Let's see what we got here in week 13. We kick it off with those Raiders who did a number on Mitch last week. They are 8-point road favorites against the worst team in football, the New York Jets. The total is 46.5, Gary.
Going back, the Jets smushed them last year. I am going to back off of this one just because I do think this is... I don't know where the Raiders go from here. It's kind of gotten away from them at this point. And like I said, they've overachieved all year. They had a really nice season, but I'm not reading too much into that loss in Atlanta, but this just feels like the kind of game where, I don't know, they come out flat and, I mean, whatever, the Jets hang around with teams. They've shown that they can do this, but I'm staying away from this one. I guess I'd lean Raiders. I have a feeling one of you are best betting Raiders here.
Mitch?
I was going to say, I think Mr. Traina likes this game because there's a reason they are not in the lightning round at the end of the show, and Gary and I are not that reason. I can't pick the Raiders after what they did to me last week. Just on principle, I can't come back to that. But then how can you actually bet on the Jets, even if you do think they're going to cover? They went up. They've been competitive. Like those Jets games, you watch them against the Patriots and the Chargers, and they're in it. And you think, well, they can hang around by 8, but, you know, last week against a better defense in Miami, they just weren't. This is a stay away from me. You think about maybe the under if the Jets are only going to score like 6 or 9 points here. But I don't know. I'm tempted to, I even saying that, I could talk myself into leaning Jets just given what the Raiders did last week. But I think I'm staying away here.
The pod is off to a great start because you both think I like the Raiders. And I'm going to utter things that I'd ever utter in my life. I like the Jets.
Ooh.
Wow.
Gary said it. The Jets have been hanging around the last few weeks. It wasn't good against Miami. Hung around against the Chargers. Raiders in Atlanta last week, now in New Jersey. I think 8 points for the Raiders to be giving on the road is very high, even for a team as bad as the Jets. Are the Jets going to win? No. But an 8 point, you know, 8 points is a lot. And, you know, listen, you could joke all you want about Trevor Lawrence. The Jets want to win a game. And I think this might be the one that, you know, maybe they pull this out. They're at home. Raiders, I think their season ended last week. You know, I don't like saying it, but I kind of like the Jets.
That's a good clip. We got to get that one out.
Can we put the pod on hold? I need to take a shower right now after saying
that. We have to get that clip of you saying I like the Jets on SI's Instagram. Blast that out to everybody.
That's definitely a first for this year. Yes, exactly. All right, next game on the board, the Titans at home giving 5.5 points to the Browns. The total here is 53.5, Mitch.
Yeah, Browns Titans, this is like an old school, like two teams that want to run the ball, like maybe the two most run heavy teams in the league, whether you're talking about like actual percentage of runs or just like how much they want to do it. I guess the Vikings are on that list too. But yeah, and like a couple kind of, I'd say like middle of the pack rushing defenses, so they ought to be able to have some success. Sometimes these are games where, you know, I look at the line and I like the idea of taking the under, because both teams, I think they just want to run the ball. And you think about those like long possessions where the clock keeps moving and you just kind of shorten the game. The trouble with the Titans is that they do have a bunch of games where they'll score like 35 points, because even though that's what they want to do, they can just like accidentally score an 80-yard touchdown anytime they throw the ball to AJ Brown and he can just take off and go. As for the line itself, I mean, I think actually like 5.5 is kind of right. You know, my gut kind of wants to pick the Browns to keep it close, and you know, I could see it coming down to a field goal. But I don't know. The Browns don't really – I think the Titans are going to win the game, and the Browns don't really strike me as like a backdoor cover team. I think a lot of times that's like you think about a team that's down maybe 10 points and they're going to throw the ball at the end. And I think the Browns, they're just – their offense is much better off when they're running the ball. They're like a front-running team. You want to get them ahead and see them get into their running game. So it's tempting to pick the Browns, but I am going to go with that under. What's the number? The number is 53.5, and – you know, the Titans have been over that a couple times. They had a high scoring game against the Colts, inflated a little by that kickoff return on the onside kick at the end. But it feels like they've had a lot of games under that number. The Browns have had a bunch of low scoring games throughout the year. So I like it. I rarely best bet a total. I almost always go sides and almost always exclusively road teams. But I like the under here. I think we're going to keep the clock moving, a nice fast game, and see the Titans come out on top in a like a 27-23 kind of game.
Gary?
No, I could I could see that. I like that, Mitch. Yeah, this is a tough game for me. Look, I'm backing away from it. I think the Titans are better than the Browns. I think the number is pretty much right on this one as far as the sides go. Look, I don't have a whole lot to say about this. I've been curious to see how the Browns would do over a little run here where they actually get to play in normal weather games. The offense was, I thought it was fine last week in Jacksonville. Baker had a couple of sort of low light misses in the end zone that I think everyone's sort of, you know, having some fun with or whatever you want to say. But I thought they were mostly fine. I just think the Titans are better than the Browns and probably probably get right around that number. So that is literally the worst gambling insight I could possibly give on this game.
Yeah, I don't have a feel for this one. I don't trust the Browns here to cover. I would lean Titans. I think they're rolling pretty good. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't like the game. You know, you guys hit on the head, the Browns with that running game, Derrick Henry, clock should be moving. You know, maybe you don't cover 5.5. There's a backdoor. I lean Titans, but I don't love the game, so it's a stay away from me. The next game, the Vikings are at home giving 10 points to the Jaguars. Total 52, Gary.
Yeah, I have a slight Vikings lean here. Look, they're in it, and I feel like I've written this team off like three or four times at some point in the season and just said, like, oh, you know, they have nothing to play for, so how can you bet on them? But obviously, they're right back in it. They're a game out of the playoffs at this point. And look, this Jacksonville team, I don't know. They stink. I didn't think they were going to cover last week against Cleveland, and they did. Their individual parts are not good. I guess the coaching job is slightly overachieved with them, the fact that they've actually been in games. But I don't know. It just feels like the Vikings might win this one by a couple of touchdowns. The other thing to keep in mind with the Vikings, I know they had to win in dramatic fashion over the Panthers last week. I mean, they gave up two fumble return touchdowns in a 10-second span. So that's probably not something that's going to happen on a week-to-week basis. So lean Vikings here, but probably just stay away.
Mitch?
Yeah, Gary, practically reading from my notes there, I felt the same. I picked the Vikings to win the NFC North before the season, and then I gave up on this team so fast earlier in the year, and now I'm getting whiplash from hopping back on the bandwagon and following them. But I don't know, this is just such a weird game, and the Jaguars, I think I read this correctly, they are starting Mike Glennon again, even though Gardner Minshew is healthy. They just decided to give Glennon another week. Am I correct about that? Like, what a strange season.
Gotta see if he's the future.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. And then the Jaguars, their team, they didn't clean house. They got rid of the GM, but they kept the coach, and they do seem like they're playing hard for him. I can't even remember if I said this at the top of the show or if I said it to you guys before we started taping. I hate all the games this week, just the whole board. There are a lot of these, and I feel like this happens this time of year where you'll just get these double-digit point spreads and a lot of these games where you just have to decide if one team's, you know, interested in playing or not, and I don't know. And now the Vikings, normally I'd be like all in, but then they've got stories about, like, is Dalvin Cook worn down, and he's getting asked about that every day. So the spread feels a little bit too high, but then, you know, I don't want to take the Jaguars here with Mike Glennon. So I guess I kind of lean the Jaguars. I feel like I'm picking some close games, and a lot of these high spreads, I'm leaning toward the underdogs. I think that'll be a common theme for me today, but, I think I'm staying away here.
This is bizarro week. I like the Jets. I like the Jaguars. I think 10 is a high line. I think Glennon is serviceable. I'm not a Gardner Minshew guy at all. So, I don't mind Glennon in there. I wouldn't have picked him if the other quarterback was there. I forgot his name already, who played for a couple of weeks.
Jake Luton.
Yeah. So I like Glennon there. I don't trust the Vikings to cover a 10-point spread. You know, feeling out last week, he'll probably be back, but who knows, you know, if he's 100%. Mitch mentioned the Dalvin Cook situation. I feel like lately, especially the last 3-4 weeks, the big spreads are not getting covered. So 10 points, Vikings, I'll take the points in the Jaguars here and hold my breath. Next game, good one. Saints giving 2.5 in Atlanta, who've played much better since getting rid of their head coach. The total is 45.5, Mitch.
Yeah, so this one is very interesting in that it's Taysom Hill's third game, and it's already his second against Atlanta in 3 weeks. So, you know, you wonder, and actually that first game against Atlanta, they didn't tell anyone who was starting until like the last possible minute, too late for ESPN Fantasy. So, you know, this time they not only have film on Taysom Hill, but they can also spend the whole week preparing for him. Unless they just start Jameis, that would just be the greatest move. Jimmy, like, you're a wrestling fan. That feels like a wrestling storyline if at the last second they pull it out and they say, we're starting Jameis this week after you prepared for Taysom Hill. I would love that. Feels unlikely to happen. This was a close game a couple weeks ago, and I know you look at the final scores and the Saints seems like they won kind of convincingly the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Denver game, throw that one out because, you know, whatever. But Atlanta was up 9-3 kind of late in the second quarter, and then the Saints scored a touchdown. They were up 10-9 at halftime, and then they won the second half 14-0 to pull away. But you just look at these. I think you just have to pick the Saints. I mean, they're a better team. I know the Falcons have been playing better with Raheem Morris as the interim coach, but, you know, they're still a 3-7 team, getting less than a field goal against one of the best teams in the conference. And I just think you have to go Saints here with the spread under a field goal. I expect them to win. There's no reason not to expect them to cover 2.5 points. You know, home field advantage is a thing, but, you know, these are both like dome teams. So even though the game's in Atlanta, like, I don't think any team has an advantage on the conditions. And yes, there's footage on Taysom, but also you'd think that the Saints have a better idea. Like, none of us really knew what he could do as a starting quarterback. Now that defenses have seen him for 2 weeks, but so has Sean Payton. And you'd think that he can look at him and say, okay, now we can game plan for him now that we know what he can actually do when he's in the lineup playing a full 60 minutes. So I like the Saints here.
Gary?
I do like the Saints. It's more of a pick against the Falcons. I'm going to get to that in a second, but I really like the under in this one. I mean, look, like Mitch said, you get the Taysom for a second time factor here for the Falcons. And look, last time these teams faced, Falcons couldn't block the Saints. Falcons receivers couldn't get open. The Saints dominated them defensively, and the Saints have been really good defensively, going back to that that blowout in Tampa Sunday night, where we all kind of said, okay, well, did they figure it out? And I think the answer is yes. So I do like the under in this one. Picking the Saints for me is more about picking against the Falcons, and this is the stat I dug up here. So Atlanta at home, coming off a double digit win, where you might say, like, oh, they have some momentum going. They have failed to cover in 8 of their last 9 games in that scenario here, and there's some other pro Saints stuff too going on here. But the bottom line is, the Saints the last couple seasons, when they get into these situations where you think maybe they're building up here for a big finish, they tend to fall flat. That's just what they do.
And Gary, I'll just add, since you mentioned the Falcons receivers not getting open, Julio Jones is going to be out again this week. And I think Todd Gurley likely to also be out, although that one might not be final. But just since you're talking about their receivers not getting open, it would certainly help to have Julio Jones.
I love it. I'm going against both of you. I like the Falcons. Falcons are not blowing games like they did in the beginning of the season. Their defense is completely changed now with Raheem Morris running the show. Taysom Hill is not going to win all his games. He's going to have a loss in there. I like this. Falcons at home 2 weeks in a row. Saints on the road 2 weeks in a row. I wish the Falcons were getting 3. I hate that it's 2.5. But I think you can have an outright Falcons win here. I think they're looking there. The Falcons seem like one of those teams that is going to enjoy being a spoiler and make some teams, pay for late season losses. So I'm going Falcons in this one.
Jimmy, you are George Costanza today, walking into the diner, chicken salad on rye.
And a cup of tea.
Jags, Jets, Falcons. I love it.
Next game, the Colts giving 3.5 points in Houston to the Texans. The total here is 51. Gary.
I'm going to go with the total in this one. I really do like the under 51. I think that number is too high here. You got to remember, Texans are now without Will Fuller. And I mean, we've talked on the show over the years, and were I a better podcast host, I would have brought up the old spreadsheet with the Will Fuller splits. But the Will Fuller splits are for real when it comes to Deshaun Watson. It's a different offense in Houston when Fuller's out, even though, I'm not going to sit here and say Will Fuller is a world beater. So I think for that reason, lots of trouble scoring points here for the Texans. The Colts are not a team that, I mean, look, if this is a game where, like, let's say hypothetically the Colts are up 23-7 in the fourth quarter, this isn't a team that's going to try and run up and down the field and score points quick. Not that anyone does, but it's just a team that really will lean on the run game. I mean, if you're going to rip the Texans, you can do it through the air. Really, you can rip this Texans defense however you want for the most part. But I think this one stays low scoring. The Colts have a comfortable lead, and it does not approach that 51 number.
Mitch?
Gary, you mentioned Will Fuller, and we'll just say they're also without Kenny Stills, and also Randall Cobb, who got hurt recently. So they are banged up at the receiver position. I think the Kiki QT breakout game, he's going to be all of a sudden a big part of the lineup again. But these Texans, they suck me in every week. You know that I love my Texans. I do have some concerns about the Colts. I picked the Titans to beat them and cover last week. I did not think it was going to be that easy, but they were missing guys on defense, and I don't know if they're going to be back. DeForest Buckner and Danico Autry were both on the COVID list, and I think they're hoping to have them back, but we don't know for sure yet. And trouble on offense too in Indy with Anthony Costanzo got hurt. Philip Rivers is playing hurt. Basically, they said his toe is hurting him, but he's obviously going to play. He's got that start streak. He's played every game since any of us can remember. So you wouldn't expect that to keep him in, but they are banged up. And, they're getting the hook, 3.5 points. Give me the Texans. I don't think I'm going to best bet it. The AFC South is just so weird. And like the Colts are very good. You know, that week they burned me that week when they beat the Packers right down to the wire 2 weeks ago. You know, they're good enough that they can beat actual good teams. But I like the Texans. They're not going to get all the way back into it in the AFC South, but they could win a couple of these games and sneak up 7-9, 8-8 finish and be a little bit more respectable than you would have thought earlier in the season.
This is a stay away from me. You know, the way, you know, you would think Indy would get this, but the way Deshaun Watson is playing, I could see Houston winning this game. He's playing out of his mind, really. Total here, 3.5. You know, that's a good number there for the Texans, but I don't trust them enough. I've come to respect the Colts over the last few weeks more than I did earlier in the season. So stay away game for me. Next game, the Seahawks, 10-point favorites at home against the Giants. The total is 46.5, Mitch.
Yeah, so, you know, I looked at this and my gut said, I like the Giants here. You know, I like the Seahawks a lot. As you guys know, I talk about that one too, but they oftentimes let teams hang around and they have so many games that come down to weird plays at the end. And I was looking, so this spread's 10 points. They actually haven't won by more than 10 points since week one against Atlanta. They did beat the Niners by exactly 10 in week 8. And you'd look at this and you'd say, you know, the Giants are playing well and they're probably the best team in the NFC East right now. And they're early in the season, they hung with good teams. And then late in the season, they've been beating up bad teams. But I think the story of the game is just that Daniel Jones is going to be out and they're going to have Colt McCoy starting at quarterback. And, you know, I just feel like that's a big drop off. I think Daniel Jones is like a little bit polarizing in some ways. And he might actually be a little bit better than a lot of people think he is. But I do not have any faith in Colt McCoy. I feel like if this was a normal Daniel Jones game, the line would be like 5 points, especially knowing that the Seahawks were favored by 5.5 to 6.5 later in the week against the Eagles. You'd think that would be a smaller number with the Giants, who have been playing much better than the Eagles. So it's very tempting, but I think I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to bet against Colt McCoy. you know, the Seahawks have had trouble on defense, but it's still, you know, I do like their ability to come up with something against, you know, how many times in a row can I say, I'm looking at my notes and I've just written Colt McCoy's name like 10 lines in a row, and it just feels like such a drop off. You've got to think Seattle's going to get through the season with a blowout somewhere. I think they can beat the Giants by double digits. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Daniel Jones an MVP nod here with my analysis, but the Seahawks are going to beat up on a really bad team, minus their quarterback, and I'm going to take Seattle.
Gary?
Mitch, you're going to look into the mirror and say Colt McCoy three times and come out and eat
your
soul.
I didn't realize how many times, and then it just kept coming out of me, and I was like, geez. And he has one of those names where you got to say the first name and the last name together, so that kind of makes it stick,
can't
and
just
you realize
McCoy.
How many, yeah.
Yeah. Shelby's going to have to do a Colt McCoy remix of that one. Look, I always like the Giants on the road. I'd stay away from this one because of Colt McCoy, but you can't really bank on it here. And Mitch does raise a good point, especially now that the Seahawks are back to the not less let Russ cook, but the sort of more run heavy than play action approach that they've taken the last couple years. They don't pull away from teams for the most part. Of course, they did last week in Philadelphia, and then they lose it on the Richard Rodgers. And I just want to say something about the Richard Rodgers Hail Mary real quick. I had turned off the game because it was over. And then I saw the next day, like, oh, Richard Rodgers caught a Hail Mary just like Green Bay at Detroit.
Yeah,
and then I watched the highlight, and it's like Richard Rodgers, who, look, he was a very athletic tight end in his prime. He does not move very well anymore. He kind of moves like an offensive lineman. And on the Hail Mary, he's like lying on the ground, and the ball just sort of gets batted into his stomach, and he just sort of grabs it. It's like, yeah, okay. That is a scenario I could imagine.
He's been the Eagles' best offensive player the last 3 weeks. So.
I hate to make this a segment where I bash Richard Rodgers, but
yeah.
There was an interception a couple weeks ago where he was trying to chase someone down, and I was like, oh, that offensive lineman is moving kind of well. And I was like, oh, 85. Ooh, that was Richard Rodgers. I just said Richard Rodgers as many times as Mitch just said Colt McCoy in this assessment of Seahawks Giants. On to you, Jimmy.
Since you brought it up, what kills me the most about that fake Hail Mary that Richard Rodgers caught is the call by Steve Levy, where his call was like Wentz drops back, heaves it up. Why not? Why not? Because I have the Steeler, the Seahawks minus 2.5. That's why not. Why not? There's millions at stake. Why not? Anyway, I like the Giants. Listen, again, the Seahawks have not played well at all for weeks. Russell Wilson has not played on nearly as high a level as people make it out to be. They actually went through the numbers during that Monday night game. He has not played well in recent weeks. Again, 10 points, these big spreads, these underdogs, these crazy backdoor covers, they seem to be happening all the time. Yes, you'd like Daniel Jones here, not Colt McCoy, but then the line probably won't be 10. I think the Giants, though, listen, they're battling for a division. They're in it. They're motivated, and they have gotten better as the season goes on. So I like getting 10 points there in Seattle. Next game, the Rams giving 2.5 in Arizona, total 48.5, Gary.
Yeah, I like the under in this one. And look, this line has swung around a couple of times, but I'm not crazy about the Rams going forward here, although I think this Cardinals defense is much more solvable than some of the other ones they saw. But Cardinals defense has overachieved. Cardinals defense is keeping them in games at this point, as the offense just plays a very uneven brand of football here. I do like the under in this one. I think there's sort of a book out on how to play Kyler in this air raid offense at this point, and that is don't let him scramble for 40 yards three times a game, and you can defeat the Cardinals, or you can at least keep Kyler in check along the way. So I think that's out there. I think the Rams do hold them back, and Jimmy, you and I talk about it all the times. This Rams offense is just not one that's going to put out a bunch of explosive plays. When they score points, they do it with sustained drives, and it just leads to not a whole lot of points. So they are actually 7-0, seven unders out of all seven of their games as a favorite this season. So I do like the Rams in this.
Yeah, one. And you saw what happened last week when they played a good defense, Mitch.
That's a good set. Wait, 7-0. Hitting the under when they are the favorite? Was that the stat you had, Gary?
That's the stat. I phrased it very poorly, but yes, like that's the stat.
That's a good number. We're into week 13. 7 is just an enormous sample size. That's like, I'll just take that to the bank forever. And now that's like an ironclad. But the thing is, you're going to be talking about that next season, because I know you. You've got that flagged. And next year, it's going to be like week 5. And you're going to say, you know, I just want to remind you about this thing I had last year. Yeah, the NFC West is just, it's like impossible. These teams, they're all capable of beating each other. And it feels like every week somebody, one of them lays an egg in a game you think they're going to win. And one of them has a great game that you don't necessarily see coming. I do like the Rams as the bounce back team. Looking just straight wins and losses, forget about the spread. They have lost 4 games and come back and won the next week every time. I guess the previous 4, if they lost their 5th this week. So, they're traveling, but not traveling very far. And Gary, I think you're right about Kyler. He's been running a lot less the last 2 weeks, and maybe that's a game plan against him. Maybe it's his health. I know people had concerns about his shoulder, but, he just hasn't seemed quite right. And you wonder when he's going to be back to 100%. I don't know. The Cardinals, it's like some weeks I'm very high on them, and I think like, oh my God, they're this great team. And then other weeks you look at them and it's like, they've lost some games. They had that Hail Mary against Buffalo. Otherwise they could be potentially under 500. I know that sometimes things play out differently, butterfly effects and such, but I like the Rams here. Again, it's like the line's under a field goal, and I think they're going to win the game. And so I feel comfortable betting them to cover it. The interesting stuff around them was just the McVay sort of publicly airing some grievances with Goff. And so, I don't know if that's going to like light a fire under him is such a like cliche thing, but you'd wonder if like now that he has some time, to either talk to God, like fix some of those issues or just game plan around them. Like I do trust Sean McVay just to figure out like an honest assessment of here's what we have right now with just personnel available and what our quarterback is capable of doing. And so, I like them to kind of figure some things out at this point in the season. And so, I think the Rams are going to win the game. And so, you got to feel confident in them being favored by covering 2.5.
I don't have a feel for this game. I don't feel for these teams lately, and it's a stay away game for me. I could see it going either way. Next game, the Eagles go into Green Bay. Packers 8.5-point favorites. Total 47, Mitch.
Oh, boy. My Eagles. Maybe I, you know, I'm approaching the point in the season where maybe I just pick against the Eagles and best bet it every week. That is tempting. I don't know how you can pick them. It's very depressing to watch them. I mean, it's like you watch the game and forget about the score. Everybody, all you're thinking about is when is Carson Wentz going to get benched? And then, you know, will Jalen Hurts be any better? And then I don't know. And the coaches, it seems like they either don't know or they do know and they don't want to find out. It's just such a bizarre situation. It's very fun. You know, I'm among many Eagles fans, not physically, but digitally. You know, I speak to Eagles fans on a regular basis every day. And it's like there have been a few games where everyone knows they're going to lose and people just melt down and lose their minds anyway. Like the Eagles are going to lose to the Packers and then they're going to lose to the Saints next week and everyone's going to panic. And it's like, well, did you think they were going to win this game? So I don't know. They got a backdoor cover last week. You'd think that they would need a backdoor cover against the Packers this week. I think the Packers right now are playing like the best team in the NFC. I may change my mind when Drew Brees gets back on the field. I want to see him come back from these double-digit fractured ribs here. But, you know, I lean Packers. I'm not going to best bet it this time. But I don't know how you can pick the Eagles with any kind of confidence.
Gary.
I'm staying away from the Eagles just because I still in my gut feel like it's going to work for them at some point in 2020, because I it just doesn't make sense after a while. I'm not gonna put any money on it. I'll just say, and Carson Wentz has been bad. It is incredible how many times they just don't run a play correctly. And my favorite one I'm gonna write about it this weekend in my column is they ran a screen pass. They checked to a screen in the red zone on third down early in the third quarter, Monday night. He was going to go for a touchdown. I think the broadcast had it wrong. They thought Boston Scott was a guy. It was Jalen Reagor. It was supposed to be a tunnel screen. And if they ran it, if Jalen Reagor stood there and caught the pass and ran straight forward, he was going to go untouched into the end zone. Instead, he just ran upfield and everyone else played a screen. You see that from some teams like once every month or something like that, but they do it like multiple times a game. So also this sentiment of like, oh, I got to put Jalen Hurts. My God, don't put Jalen Hurts in there. Like, you're going to ruin him. You already ruined Wentz. Why are you going to ruin the other quarterback you took? Keep Jalen Hurts far away from this.
Can I say about Jalen Hurts? This has bothered me as an Eagles fan watching this all season. Every week they bring in Jalen Hurts and there's a pre-snap penalty. And it's already like enough going on with your shuttling guys in and out, and not even out because you're lining up Carson Wentz wide as a wide receiver for the Hurts plays. But it seems like every single week they bring him in and there's a false start or there's an illegal formation or they've fumbled a couple of handoffs, you know, or snaps even. And it's just like, that is part of the reason it's not working, is because they think, oh, let's get cute and bring in Jalen Hurts for a play. And then it's second and 15 when you bring Carson Wentz back in. And, you know, this week he came in for third down and got sacked after Jalen Hurts did nothing and there was a false start. But it just feels like every time they bring him in, somebody's lining up in the wrong spot or a false start or something. And that's been one of the reasons why the Jalen Hurts in for a play at a time experiment is not working.
I love the over in this game. Simple math. The Eagles, the Packers are going to score 31, 34, 37 points in this game. You don't need the Eagles to do much here. The Eagles have managed to score 17 points the past couple weeks. They give you 17 points again against the Packers defense that is not any good. I mean, the Packers gave up 25 points to the Bears. They gave up 1 million points to the Colts. They gave up 20 points to the Jaguars of all teams. So I have to believe the Eagles here can get to 17 or 20. The Eagles get to 17 or 20. You're over 47 should be fairly easy to get to. So I love the over in that game. Next game, Patriots go into LA to face the Chargers. The Chargers are 1-point favorites, which I mean, Bill Belichick versus Anthony Lynn and the Chargers are 1-point favorites. Whew, the total is 47.5, Gary.
No, give that to me. Yes. I really like the Chargers here. I mean, look, this is I've been waiting to get back on them, and I don't think the line has really reflected their sort of you know, their I've said this a couple times, they are getting unlucky, but they're not getting quite as unlucky as people think. But I think this line reflects a little bit better. And the other thing is, this Patriots offense is it's not workable. Their passing game is non-existent. And to go out there and just say, all right, we're going to get three turnovers and win this game, 70-14 or whatever it might be. I don't think that's a formula you can use against Justin Herbert in a good weather game in their own stadium. So I like the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to win this one out. Well, obviously, I think they're going to win it outright because they're 1-point favorites, and I'm probably going to best bet them. But I like the Chargers here. I think they're better than the Patriots. I think the only reason these teams are even close in DVOA is because the Chargers have also been so bad in special teams, but this is it. Anthony Lynn gets the best of Bill Belichick.
Bill's, that's worse than me saying I like the Jets. Bill's gonna make you pay for this one.
It's a very bizarre week. I like Anthony Lynn.
You can't have a bigger coaching mismatch in the NFL than you do in this game. Mitch?
I love Gary not just saying that the Chargers will win, but specifically putting it on the Anthony Lynn versus Bill Belichick matchup. That is the boldest part of the pick. I don't know. I picked the Patriots. I've wanted to bury them so many times. The Chargers, I mean, you talk about the Chargers being unlucky. They've been unlucky for so many years in a row that at some point you wonder, is it really luck or, is this who they are on special teams and situational football and some of these miscues that cost them games at the end? I don't know. I'm leaning the Patriots. I don't think I feel as strongly about this game as either of you. Definitely not Gary. Stay away from me, but if I had to pick a side, I'll take New England.
It's a stay away from me because I don't bet the Chargers, but right. I definitely lean Patriots. I mean, that is as big a coaching mismatch in game that you will ever see. And I just think Bill will find a way and Anthony Lynn. If that game is close with 5 minutes left, Anthony Lynn will screw it up in such epic proportions against Belichick. It'll be high comedy. So I'm looking forward to that at least.
I just want to say this in a whispered tone. The biggest mismatch that you will see in coaching you saw last week with the Patriots.
Who did they beat? Arizona?
Cardinals. Yeah.
Cliff Kling? Oh, look at you. Cliff Kingsbury getting hit with some shrapnel out of nowhere.
Spicy.
All right.
Nobody's safe.
I mean, they did screw that up at the end of the first half badly with the goal line.
We're just ripping everyone on the show. This is a very negative show.
I'll go positive with the next game. It's the Washington football team going into Pittsburgh. Steelers -8.5. This is a Monday 5 p.m. game. Mitch.
Oh, I was going to let you go first.
I like Washington. I think, again, playing much better. I think Ron Rivera's working his magic finally with that team. Alex Smith has stabilized their offense. I think 8.5 is a lot of points for the most overrated undefeated team you'll ever see in the NFL. The Steelers are going to get picked off one of these weeks because they've got a lot of issues. 8.5 is too high. I like Washington. Mitch.
All right. Well, I'll follow that. I also like Washington. I don't think I like him as much as you do, but part of it is, I mean, the Steelers are just coming off the weirdest possible week imaginable. I guess maybe the Ravens had a weirder week, but they played each other. I mean, you've got to think that affects both teams, just the waiting around and not knowing when they're going to play and not having as much practice time and now having a short week coming off a Wednesday game. They also lost Bud Dupree, which is a big loss for them.
I meant to mention that. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And, they lost Devin Bush earlier in the season. And a lot of people said, whatever. They're still going to be a great defense. And they have been. But I always feel like when you lose multiple players, like there's always a compounding difference where it's like, you lose the second guy and it's worse than when you lost the first guy. And you just start to thin out, especially, just seeing how good that defense has been. Now, obviously, they have playmakers remaining and still a good team. But I do just think it hurts you and it adds up over the season. Washington, and also I'll say that game was, by the way, more competitive than I thought it was going to be. Even down to the last minute, the Hollywood Brown touchdown there made the final score look even closer. But just watching the game, the Ravens hung around, an awful pick six from RG3 aside. I guess the muff punt sort of goes back and forth. But anyway, they didn't blow out the Ravens, despite how many people Baltimore was missing. Washington, they're coming off a couple wins, but it's like the Bengals and Cowboys. I don't know how much you really like, you know, learn about them and their ability to play against good teams. But I'm with you. The line just feels very high, and Pittsburgh's another one of those teams. They win with defense, and they have some good offensive players. I love that stable of wide receivers, but they're not a team that you think of as like a threat to just like score 40 and blow you out. So, you know, I think they'll win and could be comfortably, but I think you take a chance on Washington there to cover 8.5 point underdog.
Gary?
I like the Steelers a little bit, but I'd back off this one. I just want to say this Washington team is fascinating. I mean, they almost have like no interest in moving the ball and scoring. I think in numbers on Next Gen Stats is some on Alex Smith. It's something like he throw, you know, usually the most conservative quarterbacks in the league. They have that stat yards to the sticks, basically how short of the first down sticks do you throw on average? And usually the guy at the bottom of the league will be like high 2 point something or low 3 point something. Alex Smith is something like 4.5 or something like that, which is just they have no interest in scoring. And that, in a way, makes them like the perfect team to win the NFC East, like the one team that like doesn't run the race at all and stands still and just watches everyone and just die along the way is the one who ends up surviving. So there's something to be said for that. So I'll back off this one. I do like the Steelers. The Steelers actually tackle people. So I think that unlike last Thursday night in Dallas, I think that's what sort of tips it in their favor.
All right, that wraps up all the games we like for week 13. We have, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4 games. There's 4 games here we'll do in the lightning round, which we'll try to do very quickly. One of those games, though, is Dallas at Baltimore. There is, oh, we do have a line now, so we can pop that up there.
I was going to say, I think we have 4 in the lightning round, and then Dallas Baltimore makes 5, I think.
I have Cincinnati, Miami, Detroit, Chicago, and Buffalo, San Francisco.
And Denver, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. There it is. Yep. Okay. Let's do Ravens, Dallas now quickly, just because they just put the lineup. There's no total. It's Ravens -7.5. This is Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. So Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Cowboys at Ravens, no total, 7.5 point favorites for Baltimore. Let's go to Gary on this one.
I like the chaos of the lightning strike because it feels like this game could start any second. Like you just wake up and the Cowboys and the Ravens are playing. I like the Ravens in this one. I think Dallas doesn't tackle people. And I think that is a problem when you're going against an offense like the Ravens offense, assuming the Ravens have, you know, their regular people back and can do that thing. So I do like Baltimore in this one.
Gary?
I'm Mitch, but I'll go. I'm gonna take the easy way out. I total stay away. We have no idea who's playing for Baltimore. Even the quarterback, we don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to be back. And then RG3 got hurt. So if you don't have them, it's Trace McSorley. So, you know, I'm going to wait and see. And not just the quarterback, but seemingly every other position on the field. I want to know who's playing before I pick a side on that game.
Yeah, that's a stay away after with the Ravens. I got to see how the week progresses. You have till Tuesday on that one. So for now, I don't know how you handicap it. You got to wait, I think, till Tuesday.
Chase our losses on Tuesday.
Yeah, after. To handicap it. Dolphins, 11.5 point favorites with the incoming Bengals. Obviously, no Joe Burrow. Total 42, Mitch.
Yeah, this is another one of those big lines that I was talking about where I just like hate a lot of these games. I guess I lean the Bengals. They were better than I thought they would be last week with Brandon Allen in for Joe Burrow, but they were also playing against the Giants. I don't know how much that says. I still want to hear about Tua's health. We don't know if it's going to be Tua or Ryan Fitzpatrick again. I don't know. I mean, you'd think that the Dolphins defense is good enough to hold the Bengals. And they ought to be able to cover, but it is a big number, 11.5. So I lean Bengals, but I'm staying away.
Gary.
I like the Dolphins. And I like the under as well. I do think this is a game where, look, Dolphins don't stop the run well, and that's what makes me kind of nervous about this. Do the Bengals just end up running it 1,000 times and sort of hanging around that way? But look, Bengals got a kickoff return touchdown. They got a couple big special. They got a fake punt. They got a long punt return in that game. That's how they hung around with the Giants. I don't think that. You can't count it in most weeks, but I think the Dolphins kind of have their stuff together in terms of special teams. So I do like the Dolphins to cover the big number, even in a crappy low-scoring game.
Yeah, line's way too high for me, but there's no way I can take the points with the Bengals. You'd expect the Dolphins here to roll at home in Miami. Next game, Bears giving 3 to the Lions, total 44.5. I'll go first. I have not one word to say about this game. Gary.
No, I you know, we always talk about the interim coach thing and what's the deal, and the narrative is that, you know, all the players hated Patricia and all that stuff. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because the guys who didn't like Patricia in that first season all got moved out. I mean, that was the problem with that team, is they traded all these talented guys for pennies on the dollar to get their guys in there. I think they generally like Patricia in that locker room, but so I don't think they get the usual bump here. You know, obviously both teams are, the Bears just don't play good enough offense to count on them, and the Lions don't play good enough defense to count on them, so that's why you back off. But yeah, that's what I got for you, Mitch.
I was going to say the exact opposite. I was under the assumption there will be guys around who do not like Matt Patricia. Granted, I don't have any sources in Detroit's locker room and don't talk to any of these people, but he struck me as a very unpopular guy around those parts. So, you know, maybe there will be a little bump there. But also, I mean, just look at the Bears. I mean, they have just fallen off a cliff. Not that the Lions are very good, but I guess you could say they're playing better than the Bears. I don't know. That Carolina game against PJ Walker was pretty ugly. But I guess I'm tempted to lean Lions. But I think this game's in the lightning round for a reason. None of us have too strong a feel on it.
Another one in the lightning round. Chiefs minus 13.5 against the Broncos, total 50.5. I feel like the Chiefs sometimes don't even try in these games. They're just too good, and then they get complacent, and then they don't cover these huge numbers. So I'm not picking the Broncos. So that's the Sunday night NBC game for Mahomes and company. Mitch.
Yeah, I love the Chiefs, and I pick them seemingly almost every week. But I told you guys a couple weeks ago I was off the Broncos and refusing to pick them. So I will respectfully stick to my own rule and stay away here.
Gary.
No, I like the Chiefs because they always dominate this division. That's it. Look, Vegas hung around with them. We'll see. Familiar opponents always gets a little more interesting than you think sometimes. The Broncos on the road, I'm never crazy about. And Chiefs against AFC West, I always like.
And the last game in the lightning round, I gave you the opening, Shelby. You didn't take it. Bad chemistry when we do this. The Bills, 1-point favorites in San Fran. Good game, by the way. This is Monday at 8, San Francisco.
This was this game's going to be in Arizona. Remember, they're going to play Glendale because the 49ers can't play at home.
Total 48. Gary.
Yeah, neutral stadium here, and they send Buffalo back to the scene of the Hail Mary. That just seems mean at this point. But I mean, look, I'm staying away from this one. The 49ers, I mean, we talked about it last week. Kyle Shanahan just figures it out, and getting Deebo Samuel back, I guess, was a pretty big deal for them, because now they have a guy who they can just give the ball to early in the down and watch him just sort of steamroll a bunch of guys on every down here. I think the Bills sort of figured things out a little bit defensively over the bye week, so I do like Buffalo here, but I'd stay away from this one. I do not like picking against Kyle Shanahan.
All right, so that wraps up the handicapping for the games. We'll now go to our best bets segment. All right, that'll kick things off. Mitch, best bets week 13.
Oh, you're going to make me go first. I have 3 definites and the one that I'm thinking about. So I'll give you the 3 first. I'm going to do the Saints minus 2.5 in Atlanta, the Rams minus 2.5 in Arizona, and that Browns Titans under 53.5. And then I'm on the fence about that Seahawks minus 10 against the Giants. How many best bets do you guys have? If you have a lot, I'll go up to 4.
I have 6.
5.
6. Okay. All right. I'll do it. I hate this and I'm going to regret it, but give me Seattle minus 10 against the Giants then.
You should be a leader, not a follower, Mitch. Gary?
I got 3 unders here. Colts Texans under 51, Rams Cardinals under 48.5, and Saints Falcons under 45.5. I'm going to double up in that Saints Falcons game. Saints minus 2.5 on the side, and give me the Chargers. Give me the Chargers beating up on the Patriots here. Chargers given 1 at home against New England.
I wish I could hit a button and fast forward to the end of that game on Sunday and just see how it collapses.
I look forward. Yeah, we got to text Gary with like 5 minutes left in the game and just see how he's feeling.
I've never seen a team give up 24 points in 40 seconds.
I got 5 underdogs, 1 total. Give me points. Feed me. Give me all the points. Jets plus 8. Jaguars plus 10. Giants plus 10, Washington plus 8.5, small underdog, Falcons plus 2.5, the total over 47, Eagles and Packers.
Jimmy, I want to get you one of those jerseys that's like made up of pieces of other jerseys and have you in like a Jets, Giants, Jaguars combined thing to sit so and watch the games in on Sunday.
Give me the points and we'll see how badly this goes. But listen, like I said, the backdoor covers have been insanity. So let me see if I can get a little taste of that on Sunday. That wraps up this episode of the MMQB Gambling Podcast, week 13. So for Mitch, Gary, I'm Jimmy. Thanks for listening and good luck with the wagers.